welcome to Horse's Mouth's Advisor Radio. This is our Advisor Talking Points segment, where we help prepare you for client interactions about the pressing topics in the markets and economy. Today is Thursday, July 20th. I'm Doug Pierce, Associate Editor at Horse's Mouth, and I am joined by Charles Sherry, author of our Advisor Talking Points column. So this week's Talking Points explores volatility, or the lack thereof, recent remarks from Fed Chief Janet Yellen, inflation levels, and more. Charles, welcome. So in this week's column, you begin by looking at how complacent the market has become.
Yes, and thank you for having me on today, Doug. Exactly. I kind of wanted to lead off with this. We've had a lot of there's been a lot of talk about the complacency in the market, lack of volatility. And I really wanted to highlight this with this table that LPL Research recently came out with. It really kind of illustrates what's going on in the market. It's been 267 trading days since we've had at least a 5% correction in the S&P 500. At this juncture, it is the fourth longest we've been without a 5% correction. You take a look at the VIX, which is kind of a measure of fear in the market. And just very recently this week, we watched the VIX fall to a closing level of 9.51. It's the lowest level seen since December 1993. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of concern right now among investors. And that may come as somewhat of a surprise to clients, given, kind of what's going on in the world today. We look at what's going on with North Korea. A few months ago, it was Syria. That didn't bother the market. You look, of course, some of the political drama at home, the gridlock in Congress, difficulty in passing some kind of repeal and replace of Obamacare. And that's not trying to say that we're not trying to be pro-Obamacare or anti-Obamacare in this sense, but from an investor standpoint of view or investor vantage point, healthcare is blocking more important issues, at least to investors, like tax reform, corporate tax cuts. But none of that seems to be having much of an impact on the market. And I think a lot of this just has to get back to where we're at. Investors are focusing on the fundamentals. We have a modest economic growth right now. We're seeing an acceleration in global growth. We're not seeing much concern in emerging markets or China. In fact, just the opposite. China's GDP figures out this week showed a little bit faster than expected growth. We've got rising corporate earnings, and rates remain at historically low levels. And all of that are strong tailwinds for the market. We're just not seeing much of a reaction to some of the negative headlines outside of the market.
Yep. And moving right along, we'll get to Fed Chief Janet Yellen, who spoke before Congress last week. What can we glean from what she said?
There's a couple of things I wanted to look at here. Yellen and one of her close allies, Fed Governor Lael Brainard, and the market seemed to sense a little bit of a dovish tilt from the Fed. There wasn't that. I mean, investors are always going to look carefully at what Janet Yellen has to say when she testifies before congressional committees. There wasn't expected to be a lot of surprises, new direction from the Fed. We got some of the same, the economy's growing, strengthening labor market. More talk about the balance sheet, how they want to begin shrinking that relatively soon. Gradual rate hikes. I think one thing that may have maybe caught the attention of the market a little bit was, just the softness in inflation. And Janet Yellen and the Fed didn't seem quite as confident that recent softness is just kind of a temporary blip. And I'm going to talk a little bit about inflation below, too. Also kind of wanted to touch on something interesting. We got a speech from Fed Governor Lael Brainard, who's a close ally of Janet Yellen on the Fed. And they seem to be on the same page. Everybody's on the same page about letting the balance sheet begin to shrink relatively soon. I talk about this more below in the kind of look ahead, but maybe July, but more likely at the September meeting. But one of the things is with the slowdown in inflation, especially in core inflation, she talked about how, rates, as well as with Yellen, that rates are kind of approaching what she called the neutral rate for the Federal Reserve. And a neutral rate would be something that would be considered not accommodative, but not restrictive. And at this kind of point, she wants to kind of assess what's happening on inflation before determining whether maybe additional rate hikes are appropriate. Maybe that's a little more dovish than what we're seeing from other Fed officials, maybe even from Janet Yellen herself. But I wanted to kind of touch on that. What is the neutral rate of inflation? And while the Fed's not going to actually give an exact number, we can kind of think of what is the real rate, real interest rate. And we know how to calculate that. We just take the nominal rate, whatever's out there on that yield or that CD or that bond, and then we subtract out the rate of inflation. Of course, if anything's positive, real rates are positive. And of course, the opposite, rates are negative. And that's kind of what's happening here. As you look at figure one, you take the Fed funds rate and you minus out, you subtract out the core PCE price index. PCE price index, it's not a household name, but it's a very broad measure of prices. It's a Fed favorite gauge, even over the consumer price index. And you can see in figure one that is approaching, at least if we use this as our measure, as kind of a neutral rate. And then that, you know, you start asking the next question after what Brainerd was saying. You're kind of asking, okay, if inflation does stay soft, would the Fed actually go restrictive in policy, continuing to raise the Fed funds rate gradually? There, we suspect it looks like they've already raised it three times since December. There may be one more hike this year. Would they continue on that three rate hikes per year into 2018? If you look at their projections from June, the dot plot, you've got those three rate hikes. We would then be in kind of a more restrictive policy at a time when the economy is not really growing that quickly. You look at Fed funds futures. Right now, there is a 50% chance they're going to go ahead in December. But after that, as I say here in the piece, it gets murky because Fed funds futures, at best, at least right now, are pricing in just one rate hike next year. Of course, if the data changes, that could change also. But you know, would maybe the Fed slow down its cycle? And a lot may have to do with what's happening in inflation. And, of course, at the same time, we've got this tightening labor market. So the Fed's kind of grappling with two different things right now.
Okay, well, of course, you mentioned inflation, which is the next talking point.
Yeah, this, Doug's gotten a lot of attention lately because we've had this pullback in the core CPI. Inflation is kind of interesting when you're talking with clients, and not that you're going to delve into a big discussion with them, and kind of some thoughts I'm going to provide here can really be used with any kind of topic when you're discussing things with clients. But let's look at this. You mentioned to clients that inflation is softening. I mean, they're going to come from a lot of different angles. You tell them that, and the first thing they're thinking is, well, that hamburger that I just bought at my favorite restaurant just went up in price. Or, do you know what I just paid for a hotel that I just booked for a family vacation? And we can go on and on with cable, with health insurance, with what's happened to college tuition. But the reality is for the Federal Reserve, for investors, for the bond market, they're looking closely at the CPI. They're looking at the PCE price index. And these are very broad measures of inflation. And that's what's going to help determine what's going to happen to bond prices, interest rates, and Federal Reserve policy. But that said, if you're not going to get into a big discussion of inflation, you can use some of the same ideas when discussing various topics with clients. Because remember, you and I, Doug, and a lot of our listeners, we come from this financial perspective. Clients are coming from a completely different perspective. They don't understand the economy, the markets, and finances. So you want to put things in their terms. That said, what's happening with prices right now has caught the Fed's attention, and I kind of wanted to point that out in figure two. You take kind of a four-month rolling average of the monthly change in the core CPI, core being, you know, excluding food and energy, and you can see that inflation has come down sharply in the last 4 months. I remember talking about this with the March CPI reading when we got that surprise downturn in the core CPI, thinking it was kind of a one-time thing, but it has kind of extended longer than I think a lot of people, including myself, had expected, especially at this stage in the economic cycle. And I list some topics here, some products or services of what we can blame some of the recent weakness on. But I think another thing that's important to point out is shelter, which makes up about a third of the CPI. That has slowed recently from 3.6% year over year to 3.3% rate. fact, if you go in and you look at shelter costs and you annualize them on looking at the last 3 months and do that on a three-month basis, it's a little more volatile, but it's come down. The decline or the slowdown is more pronounced in the 2.5% range. And if we start to see shelter costs really moderate, I think, you know, that obviously will create additional headwinds to higher inflation. I think with consumers, that's good news. But for the Fed, again, it's a headache, another headache as they try to get the rate of inflation up. What they see is price stability at 2%. And then you've got this tighter labor market that they're trying to kind of manage both of these.
Switching focus to Europe, we've been seeing some taper talk out of the European Central Bank.
It was kind of interesting. A surprise speech by European Central Bank President Mario Draghi. At the end of June, he started kind of talking about how maybe we're seeing deflationary forces being replaced by reflationary forces. And that was kind of seen as a signal that the European Central Bank is soon going to announce a taper of their QE program. And that sent yields up significantly in Europe. And that's important to us because if you drop down to figure four, we're looking at the 10-year Treasury yield, and what's happening to Germany's yield on its 10-year bond. And you can see there's a pretty close correlation. They don't move one-to-one, but some of the peaks and valleys, they're tied in pretty closely. And we can see that at the end of June when German yields moved upward in response to Draghi, we saw U.S. yields move a bit. And that comes, you kind of compare that with the Federal Reserve's trying to do. We've had three rate hikes since December. Treasury yields go back to kind of where they were at in December, if not prior. The Fed can't seem to get the long end of the curve up because of what's happening to growth at home, things with inflation. But I think another key component here is what's happening in Europe. You know, when you had bond yields in Germany at 25 basis points, they're up over 50 now. But back then at the end of June, around 25 basis points in the 10-year, that provides a loose tether to what's happening at home. And as a result, the yield curve has flattened maybe more than we might expect. Again, a lot of it has to do with what's going on in Europe.
Okay, let's take a look at the weeks ahead. What do we have to look forward to?
I think we're going to look at the Fed meeting. There are no surprises expected, at least on the rate front. I think the only thing couple of things we want to look at, will they go ahead and announce this wind down of the balance sheet? What's been happening is they hold mortgage-backed bonds. They hold longer-term treasury bonds from those three rounds of quantitative easing. When those mature, they just go ahead and purchase. What they've been doing is just been purchasing more, reinvesting those proceeds. So what they're looking at doing here is, and they've been very transparent in telegraphing how they want to go ahead and shrink the balance sheet. So whether it may start in July, but I think more likely it's going to start in September. That's when there is a press conference. When Yellen's talking about relatively soon, I don't think that really lines up with a late July announcement. And again, besides, no press conference. They've all been making these announcements. Any kind of rate changes and any changes in policy have come at one of these four press conferences each year. In my own mind, I'd like to see the Fed move in July or do something in October, kind of throw the market just a slight curveball rather than this incredible transparency we're getting. You kind of remember back last decade, the Fed was trying not to rattle markets, and we had this step up, you know, quarter basis point at every single meeting. It became very predictable. And looking back, there's been some criticism, some arguments that maybe the Fed was a little too transparent in trying not to upset investors. So I think that's one of the things we're going to be looking at when they make that announcement and not reinvest all those proceeds and kind of let that balance sheet come down. I don't think there's going to be any change in rate hike guidance. That's not expected. We'll probably see the same language. What we're looking for is that the Fed will probably continue to emphasize that it's closely monitoring inflation. So I think those are the things investors are looking at, balance sheet talk and what's going on with inflation.
And I mean, we used to get no press conferences from the Fed, right? Like that's a relatively modern thing, isn't it?
It is, Doug, and it started with Ben Bernanke is trying to be more transparent in explaining Federal Reserve policy. So that was something that Bernanke started several years ago. You go back to the early Greenspan era, and it was like 1993, 94, and you got maybe one line what they did with the Fed funds rate, and that was really it before we started getting a little bit more explanation. If you go back to the 80s and Paul Volcker, they really didn't say much at all. It was really veiled, and it seemed it really veiled in secrecy. So we've seen much greater transparency, which I think is a plus because you're explaining to investors and public what you're doing. Overall, I mean, that's a big advantage over what we saw in the 80s and even in the early and mid 90s. But it does feel as if with the press conference, the Fed seems, although they say they can do anything in any meeting, just looking at their recent history with rate hike cycles, with rate hikes, they're occurring at a time when they can, you know, Janet Yellen can go out in front of the TV cameras and explain it. Yes, she said she could call a quick impromptu press conference if it's done off that. It just hasn't happened. At least not yet.
Okay. Let's move on then to second quarter earnings. You say they're off to a solid start. What are we seeing?
It almost feels like the movie Groundhog Day. It's the same thing. We're off to a stronger start. We've got modest economic growth. Companies have a close eye on the bottom line when it comes to expenses. That's helping the bottom line. I think in this case, what's happening a little bit and what we're projecting or expected to see is that the international, what's happening overseas with faster growth, is expected to create a tailwind for earnings. So companies that have greater exposure overseas than they do at home are expected to see faster profit growth over those that are primarily relying on domestic demand. And that's the case even with the dollar. Dollar has weakened some lately, but there's that expectation that the dollar will still, based on what happened a year ago, there'll still be a modest headwind from the stronger dollar, again, versus a year ago. Right now, with the latest data coming in, with just 15% of S&P 500 firms having reported, profits are projected to rise 8.6% versus a year ago. That's up from the 8% estimate in July. And remember, with that 8.6 and 15, you're taking what's reported and blending in with those that haven't reported. And because of that, as firms top expectations, and that is the historical trend, that number tends to go up. I think I saw this recently from FactSet. From beginning of earnings season to end, I believe it was a 3 percentage point increase. So that being the case, it seems likely when earnings season's over, we'll have another, like we saw in Q1, Q2, we'll see another double-digit increase in earnings. That's, of course, important support for stocks. Of course, we're always looking for guidance, especially when we see with some of the bigger industrials what's happening overseas. Finally, Doug, first look at Q2 GDPs coming out at the end of next week. There'll be some revisions going back to the last 3 years. This is when the quarterly three-year quarterly revisions come out. It's at the end of July release. It is backward looking. It could tend to have some short-term influence on the market. But again, this comes out in July. This is April through June. We're expected to see a bit of a rebound from the first quarter numbers. But given some of the surge in business and consumer confidence that we saw earlier in the year, the animal spirits that were being generated, I talked about that quite a bit when we go back to the early part of 2017. That just hasn't yet to really significantly translate into an improvement in economic activity, at least from the consumer side. I believe when you're looking at the University of Michigan survey, they break it out into self-described Democrats and self-described Republicans. And earlier in the year especially, you saw Republicans who were jubilant. You saw Democrats, self-described Democrats, as hunkering down. And it's very interesting because I don't think Republicans went out and said, hey, it's time to remodel the home and take a real big vacation and spend money. And I don't think Democrats were, circling the wagons. A lot of it may be of what happened politically. It just has not, at least at this point, hasn't translated economically.
Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting. Okay. I think part may just be we haven't seen the pro-growth policies enacted. Tax cuts may take a little bit of time, but big infrastructure projects have big lead times. Congresses, and if they were to pass a huge project, some of that spending wouldn't happen till 2019, 2020. That yeah. might be the expectation of growth, but the real money going out, that takes time.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, wonderful. Charles, thank you so much. Thanks for joining me today. Everyone, you've been listening to Charles Sherry, author of Horses Mouth's Advisor Talking Points column. Now, Charles, if listeners are interested in finding more about you, what you do for advisors, where can they go?
Well, you can first, you can either shoot me an email at charles@financialjumble.com or feel free to take a look at my website, financialjumble.com. The whole goal is to provide content that is really proactive. It engages clients and prospects alike.
Okay, great. Thank you, Charles, and thanks everyone for listening. Goodbye.